Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, one and all, and welcome to Behind the Glass, the podcast which aims to take you behind the scenes of the YouTube channel Seen Through Glass, as well as the automotive and social media worlds. I'm your host, Sam, from the YouTube channel Seen Through Glass, and as always, alongside me is Mr. Tony from Gravelwood Car Sales.
Good evening.
It's not, it's very, very early morning.
It's Sunday.
It's Sunday morning, and we are sitting down first thing to record this week's episode. I think this is the first sort of morning recording we might have ever done.
I think so.
I don't know.
It's definitely the first Sunday.
Yeah. It's definitely, I need a few more coffees really before I can start talking to you, before I can put up with you, Tony. But anyway, we're going to get through. Vicky, my lovely partner, has made us some banana bread, which we may be scoffing into during this morning's episode because we haven't really had breakfast. So forgive us if you hear us munching away in the background. But anyway, yes, welcome back to another episode of the podcast. If you're watching us here on YouTube, don't forget our current goal of 50,000 subscribers, at which point one of you will be joining us. So it's imperative, yes, that you hit subscribe and turn on notifications so that you can come and sit alongside us, join us for an episode, or join us by phone if you're in a foreign country and can't make the trip over. One way or another, you will be on this show. So yes, please do subscribe, turn on notifications, give this video a thumbs up and leave a comment below. And if you're listening to us, thank you for tuning in on whatever audio platform you are listening to us on, Spotify, Apple Podcasts.
You don't know, do you?
Don't know, but they're out there.
YouTube?
Wait, no, that's...
Let's listen. No, let's watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We just did the YouTube bit.
Oh.
Okay, so back to life. Anyway, thank you very much for tuning in and make sure to keep following. We are doing our weekly episodes and we're remaining on track. This is episode 5 of the year.
So we're consistent.
We're consistent at the moment.
We'll be all right, Paul. We'll keep going.
We are
going
to be all right. Now, we have lots of exciting things actually coming up over the next few weeks and months. A few more exciting guests. Obviously, the Geneva Motor Show, which we're going to touch on briefly in today's episode. But we'll be doing a special post the show to reflect on anything new and impressive or unimpressive. F1 season, fast approaching again. We're going to touch on that briefly. But the first Grand Prix of the year, unbelievably, it's about a month away. So before we know it, we're going to be back into F1 times, which we love.
It comes back around really quickly, don't it?
Comes back around real quick.
Yeah.
And also, potentially, we're going to be taking Behind the Glass on the road. So stay tuned for that.
Where are we going?
Oh, stay tuned.
I don't even know about this yet. But where are we going?
It's early. I forgot to tell you. I forgot to brief you.
Oh.
but a few years ago when we were up and running previously, we did do a few live episodes.
We did, yeah.
They did very well. People seemed to enjoy them. And it was great for us to be able to interact with people in a sort of live show capacity.
We collected my GT3 RS live.
We collected your GT3 RS live and told your live story. People went nuts for it.
It was crazy, weren't it?
The most viewed video on this channel, I think.
Really?
On the Behind the Glass channel was
really
your
good.
GT3 RS collection.
Yeah, yeah.
So when Tony collects his Koenigsegg this year, but watch this space. Those of you that do enjoy the show and would be interested in attending a live show where you can interact with us, laugh at us, throw things at us and boo.
No, don't throw things at us.
Information coming soon on that. But anyway, let's get into today's episode. Quick catch up, quick recap of what we've been up to, because you've had a very interesting week, mate.
Yeah, I've... Well, much like last week, I've been selling cars, obviously. But the most important one that's gone is the Purple Manti.
Oh, it's
has
gone.
Left the building.
Now, this is your personal car rather than a sort of business car, right?
Correct.
And it's gone. Adios, amigo.
Gone.
That took a while, didn't it?
Not really, mate. So I did sell it like 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
So there was the deposit on it 3 weeks ago. And I'd already previously sold it as well, but we couldn't get the guy on finance, so...
Because I feel like it's been, like, up for sale for a while.
No, turn of the year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm mad then. Maybe I'm thinking of some other cars.
I've been speaking about it for a while.
Fine. You kind of knew you wanted to get rid of it.
For sure. Yeah.
So those cars still in demand then? Because that was kind of the point I was going to get to. Like, has the moment passed on Performantic? Because at one point they were hot off the press.
Yeah. So they were really hot when they come out. Mm-hmm. And hindsight's a wonderful thing, obviously. I was offered overs for that car when I bought it.
Oh my God.
I know. And I said, go away. I want to use it.
Yeah. I bought it to use it. Yeah.
I bought it to use it. And obviously I regret it now. Not because I didn't like the car, because I did like the car and I'm glad I bought it. I'm not glad about the money I lost, but no one thought they were going to lose that money, which is why I kept it.
Sure.
You know, like, unfortunately we haven't got a crystal ball.
No, God, that would be fucking amazing.
Amazing. So
is it because they made too many of them or like...
Yeah. So I think Lamborghini kept up with the demand from the dealers, obviously. People were buying them to flip them, mm-hmm. As they were a lot of supercars throughout the last few years, and now it's all caught up on us.
Sure.
You know, all opportunists. That's why there's too many cars on the market now, because if you keep giving the manufacturers orders, they're a business, mate. They just keep building the cars.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I mean, why wouldn't they? You know,
if there's demand, for sure. It's coming, yeah.
But the demand was for Auto Trader.
Sure.
No, it was.
It was. It wasn't for car owners, car drivers. Uh-uh. It was for people to make a quick buck.
Try.
And sorry, then, yeah, good point.
And then the, excuse my expression, the arsehole fell out of them.
Pardon the French, monsieur. Le asshole.
And that was the end of them.
Yeah.
So they've come back now because they're so cheap. Like,
in, well, relatively.
Compared to supercar, mate. I mean, I don't think that there's a, apart from probably the 720S, which mm-hmm. will break, there isn't a, the Lamborghini is, I mean, I never had a problem with it.
Yeah,
and I've done nearly 8,000 miles in it, you know, drove it hard for 8,000 miles. Didn't really drive it in this country, but drove it in 30 degree heat.
Would you have another one?
No, I wouldn't buy another Lamborghini. Never.
But that car, you wouldn't have another Performante?
I've had it now. I've done it.
You've done it.
Yeah. But honestly, anyone that's looking at a used Performante now at 170, 180, it's a great car.
It's an interesting amount of money because, like, as you say, at that point, you're looking at 720Ss. You're looking at...
488 GT3 RS? Yeah, see... You kind of have to take the GT3 RS out of it, I think,
okay. Because
it's over list.
Sure, but I'm just talking about if you're not thinking about that, if you're literally coming in, I've got 175 grand to buy a car,
yeah,
and I'm sitting on Auto Trader browsing my options, you've got some very interesting and very different kind of cars. You've got Bentley Continental GT, McLaren 600LT, McLaren 720S, Ferrari 488. You probably couldn't stretch to a Speciale or a Pista, but you could look at a Challenge Stradale or a Scud. Hello. But, you know, that's one of those brackets of money where the world is almost your oyster. Okay, fine, you can't get the really special stuff, but you're going to have a headache in terms of picking. Are you saying that the Performante is a steal in that little section?
So for me,
yeah,
me personally... I would have the GT3 RS.
Of course you would.
Because
it's tattooed on your chest.
No, not because of that. Because of my requirements. You know,
sure.
Track days,
sure.
Drive, everything.
But the Performante can do that.
Not as good. The best car,
yeah,
I think, to do everything is the Performante.
Okay.
To do everything.
Sure.
So
you can turn up to the club.
You could, yeah.
Yeah.
For noise, showy... the wet, it's very good in the wet. Everything. I mean, everyday use. It looks good. Probably looks the best out of all of them as well. It's reliable. I mean, all the cars are reliable apart from McLaren anyway.
Sure.
They don't break anymore. So, yeah.
Can I just say, just to interject on that, I was in a 720S this week. Nothing went wrong with it.
Okay. Did you drive or did you just get in it?
I was passengering in it. Someone else was driving.
It was moving.
In it for about 35, 40 minutes. Nothing went wrong.
Brilliant. Just, well done, McLaren.
Just want to put that out there.
Yeah.
It's as I say, interesting price point, but it's not the only sort of interesting car life you've been living this week because you also picked up a car for the business.
Been busy this week. Yeah. So
new stock.
Yeah. Two bits of new stock, actually. So we took a Ferrari 458 in part exchange for the Performante.
Yeah.
And a 993
Ooh.
911.
Ooh.
Last of the air cooled.
Carrera or Carrera S or like.
I think it was just a Carrera.
Okay, nice.
Just a Carrera. Though. Yeah, yeah.
So good looking, the 993, I think.
It was a convertible as well.
Ooh.
So, but we obviously it was too old for us, so that's gone back out into the trade. That's already gone.
Okay.
The 458 has gone as well, already okay, gone. Wow, gone back on. Out into the trade.
Look at you.
Yeah.
It's been a good week, hasn't it?
Mainly, I mean, the 458, I drove it and it still gets a lot of looks, mate.
Oh, like, mate, it's still a brilliant car.
But do you know what?
Go on.
It's a lot of money still.
How so?
So
can you reveal your cards on this one?
I can reveal the retail.
Okay.
Yeah. So
I don't want to completely ruin your day, but
no, we won't ruin mine. You ruin every motor dealer's. So the retail value, roughly, of a 2011,
relatively early car.
Relatively early car. This car had done 11,000 miles. It was Rosso Corsa with Crema. Perfect. Not a huge spec. Had okay. the standard wheels. Had carbon driving zone.
Comfort seats or race
comfort seats. Yeah. It was what we would call in the trade an old man's car.
Okay, sure. Yeah. I get it.
Not something for us.
Yeah.
So, but proper Ferrari history. It still had some Ferrari warranty as well. Been extended. It was a nice one.
It was a good car.
When you got in it, you still smelled the leather. It was lovely.
Perfect.
So that
were you tempted to keep it?
No way. No. So that would retail sort of 140, 145, which is a lot of money.
Strong.
Mate. It's still strong.
If you think about, I mean, we talked about a second ago, the sort of 175 price bracket, 140, again, I mean, new cars, you can get some absolute gems in there.
Mate, you can get a 600 LT for 150 grand.
But, okay, here's my argument. I think the 458 redefined what a modern-day supercar could be.
It did,
in terms of usability.
Yeah.
Okay, performance, like, sure, it was a big step forward, but it was the first real proper super, super, supercar that you could use every day. And I think that has meant it's aged very well because it's still effectively very usable. Yes, they've had their issues of going up in fires, in flames as well.
Early cars.
Fixed it. Yeah, sorted out.
Yeah.
But, you know, still to this day, they've got great performance, great looks, great sound, and they're still very, very usable. And as you say, if you get them with a warranty pack or a service pack, you're kind of winning at life.
Well, engine and gearbox on them, mate, I mean, bulletproof. I've never, ever heard of a problem with a 458 engine or gearbox, ever.
I think it's still a very attractive proposition, and it'll be interesting to see over the next few years what happens with them value-wise, because also we have to do the whole, you know, speculation, last naturally aspirated mid-engine V8 Ferrari. That's the potential thing. And if you look at Speciales and how strong that they've remained, it's a car that I think people really just do lust after. And in years to come, maybe people are going to look back and go, that was a last great Ferrari.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Maybe we should go and buy them now and stick them in.
Well, I've just sold one
somewhere. Oh yeah,
so I'm not that bothered.
Yeah, no, you're really not. Anyway, the car that I wanted to mention though, which I was trying to lead you onto, but you totally missed my hints. The Supra.
Yes.
Because you gave me a call midweek and said, oh, I'm off to pick up a Supra.
New Supra.
New Supra. Yeah. Now, I, we weren't together last year, romantically or physically. But we were speaking, and I know that you absolutely despise the idea of the Supra, especially when it's revealed and launched. You said it's absolute crap, and you kind of joined the online hate of, oh, it's just a rebodied BMW.
Mm.
Now you've driven one.
I think.
You wish you started it. I think Chris Harris started it.
Chris Harris.
Yes, he did.
He doesn't know as much about cars as me. It's just a journalist.
Of course. So now that you spent some time in one, in terms of picking up and taking it back to the unit, what are your thoughts?
So I did slag it off.
You did?
A lot.
Yeah, sorry to
interrupt. For the same reason that everyone else did.
Sure.
But I never, while slagging it off, I never disputed it wouldn't be a good car.
Okay.
I said it will be a good car. And I was really not going in on the car, I was going in on Toyota because it was laziness from them. And Toyota historically have been very good at making, like Nissan with the GTR, been very good at making them sort of cars. and they were lazy in their design, and not the design, in the engineering. Just thought, oh no, we'll just buy everything from BMW and we'll paint a car, which is what they've done basically. But it is a very good car.
Mm.
It is a BMW. You sit in it, and it is literally a BMW with a Toyota sticker on the steering wheel. It's even a BMW steering wheel.
Sure.
BMW keys. Everything is BMW. But it's got a lot more character than the BMW.
Okay.
It's got a bit about it.
A bit of personality.
Mm.
Which I think is important, and that's enough.
Yeah.
I think, you know, they took that route, and as you said, could be accused as being lazy or whatever, but...
Well, it was.
Yeah, sure. Okay, I agree. I'm not arguing with you. But what I was saying is that when you see them on the road, I go, "Oh, look, Supra."
Yeah.
And I don't go, "Oh, look, Z4.
No. No, you'd be wrong.
Yeah. No, but as in when I see a Z4,
I don't
get excited about that car.
No.
But if
I
see a Supra, I go, "Oh, cool, Supra."
Supra, yeah.
And so just, I've never sat in one, I've never driven one. I've been around a few, but I hold judgment until I've done either of that. Actually, can I come and do yours? Can I film yours?
You can after Archie, yeah.
Oh.
He's called it.
He's of course
going,
he has.
He's probably going to say he's going to buy one.
Views.
I mean, he gets about 4,000
okay,
views.
I'll let him do that and I'll watch his video instead. maybe I'll just come and hang out in it. But yes, it's cool. There's something about it which is kind of cool-ish. I don't know why and I don't know how. It's done very well on YouTube in America.
Mm.
Very, very well. Shmi bought one, but I feel like he's not like filmed it.
No.
Maybe he's already sold it.
Yeah, maybe.
Because literally, like, I feel like he picked it up and it's just like... That's it.
I think he'd done a few miles initially, did he not? And then it's all sort of gone a bit quiet. Have you spoken to him about it?
No, I'll message him. Maybe he felt like he missed the bubble a bit because, as I say, America went so wild for it. I think every single YouTuber in America bought a Supra and modified it.
Yeah.
And it was so done that by the time he came to collect his, maybe the audience interest wasn't there. I don't know. But he's got
too many
cars.
They're not a lot of money.
No, not a lot of money. Not a lot of money. And you can have fun with them, I think. Mm. But you never know what Shmi's up to. But yeah, well, look, you've had a busy old week.
Yeah.
I, on the flip side, have also had a busy-ish week, but not that interesting a week. For those of you watching the main channel, Seen Through Glass, you've probably picked up on the fact, but there's a lot going on in my life away from YouTube at the moment. A lot of business, a lot of personal stuff happening, which is keeping me very, very busy and very, very stressful. It's all stuff planning towards the future. Obviously now Drive the World being over, I've got to figure out what I'm doing next, what the next big life plan is. And as I mentioned in one of my first videos from the year, the theme for this year is go big or go home. And I now have to put my actions behind those words and plan some big, big things. Otherwise I need to go home.
The problem is that how do you follow up from Drive the World?
Well, that's what I'm working out right now. There's exciting things.
The end of February, mate. I mean...
Hey, but you don't want to rush these things. This is what I've established. If you rush anything on YouTube, it's a disaster. Drive the World took 18 months to plan. I'm still doing cool stuff, making cool content that I'm excited about. Got a video going out. Well, it would have gone out yesterday on the main channel. of a super, super rare one-off Bentley. I know you've watched that video, Tony, because you love Bentley.
Yeah, I watch all of YouTube.
Yeah, all of the YouTube.
All of every single video, yeah.
But yeah, but the bigger stuff, you can always plan cool videos each week. The thing I'm filming this week is like dream content. But the bigger stuff takes a while to plan.
Mm.
And a lot of meetings and a lot of travel. So it's been one of those weeks where I seem to have just been absolutely nonstop meetings, traveling, admin, logistics, moving cars, setting things up, which is exhausting. It's kind of boring.
And you won't see the benefit of that right this second.
No.
But you will going forward, mate.
It's all about stuff for like April and May. And yeah, I'm so excited. And then I realize that that's still months away.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm 95% confirmed on something outrageously exciting for the 360. Like big moves. Big moves.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I was going to
leave it
like
that.
You
can't say
anything? Nope. That's my teaser.
Do I know?
You could get involved, actually. Anyway.
No, thank you.
I'll brief you about it in the break.
Absolutely not. I mean, I am not getting involved.
Hey, you don't know
what I'm
going
to get in it.
What? You don't know what I'm going to tell you?
I'm not interested.
What if I told you that I'm taking it to Sebastian Vettel's house and spending 3 days with him, driving around his personal test track? And
okay,
he said,
I'm coming.
You can, yeah.
That's not what's going to happen, though, is it?
No. Anyway, we are going to take a short break just so we can have some more coffee and some banana bread. Give you guys 2 seconds. And we'll be right back, continuing today's podcast with talks about the new Maserati, F1 testing, and answering some of your questions. See you in a second.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
I know some of you get frustrated by the breaks that we take, and I apologise. It's a camera thing at the moment. We're having technical things where they only seem to record. My camera seems to record in 20-minute blocks. So if any of you are camera nerds and know how to figure that out, we're using Panasonics, please let me know so we can record continuously. But that's why we take breaks.
No, we like... I actually like a break.
You like a break just for 2 seconds to...
Just to refresh.
Refresh.
Mm.
It's tough to talk straight for 45 minutes, isn't
it? No, it's easy for me, but... I mean, you can't keep up.
No, I can't keep up. Good point. Right, well, let's dive into a topic which is going to be interesting. Because this week we received the news, or the world received the news, that Maserati are back.
Here we go.
With a new, supposedly, mid-engine supercar codenamed the MC20. Now... Before Tony goes on a rant that will make me very upset, just to brief you, because there's kind of a lot of mixed reports going on with this car. An artist impressioned render came out midweek of a beautiful yellow 4C/Pininfarina sort of styled beauty.
It did look very good, actually.
That I think the world went mad for. They were like, "Ah, this is the new Maserati Super Sportiva," and everyone went absolutely insane.
Looked like a TDF from the back.
Yeah, it had a lot of different Ferrari Alpha elements, but it looked beautiful. I think people thought those were official press images, but it wasn't. It was artist impressions, and it came from the news that Maserati said, "Yes, we are going to be back, releasing a car in May." Which is going to be called the MC20. Now, the sort of conflicting bits that I've read is we've got, this is the follow-up to the MC12, which obviously was the rebodied Enzo. So at that point, because it's MC20, you're like, oh, wow, so we're talking like £2 million car.
It's like nearly like a hypercar. Like,
yeah, hypercar.
Yeah.
And then it's like, no, because it's going to be sort of based off the platform of a sort of 4C-ish, or at least using the carbon tub, but extended. And but then someone else said, no, that was just the test bed because they're using this new V6 powertrain. And to do that...
From the Alpha.
And so they were just using the 4C carbon, like a modified version of the 4C just to test the powertrain because it's all supposed to be turning that... Do you remember the Alfieri? The concept? The Maserati Alfieri or something like that? It was like 2016. It was a front engine GT. It looked like the replacement for the Gran Turismo. Very, very beautiful. And they said, yes, that will go into production. But that was a front engine car.
Okay.
So there's a lot of like, huh, what? But they did reveal some images of this kind of hybrid mule test vehicle, which was mid-engine. So that's why everyone went, okay, they've obviously scrapped Alfieri. It's going to be a mid-engine supercar.
Okay.
A lot of question marks.
Huge.
I am extremely excited.
Okay. You're extremely excited for a Coupe Giulia.
Yes.
With a tub.
Oh my God, if they made that, I would be ecstatic.
Coming to a showroom close to you for $499 a month.
Well, hey, if that is the truth, I am all over that.
Because you know, Maserati are basically a lease company now. That's the only way they sell cars.
Of course, because they had an absolute disaster with all those models. I can't even remember what we're talking about.
The Ferrari dealers are ditching the Maserati dealers because Ferrari and Maserati are not connected anymore.
You're talking about the past, mate.
I'm talking about now.
No. Maserati are back.
Okay.
The MC20 is their reinvention. This
Where
is their
moment.
Where
have they been for 12 years asleep?
Where have they been for 20 years, mate?
that car, that MC thing, that what's it called? The Gran Turismo.
MC Victory.
No.
MC Stradale.
And I mean, it's all the same car.
Oh, no, for sure. That's the thing. Gran Turismo has been out for 8 years.
Eight?
Yeah.
More like 18.
Oh, yeah, so you're right.
Yeah.
It's 12, probably.
Easily 12
okay,
years.
Okay, let's Google it.
I'll tell you when it was. It was 2006 or 7.
Maserati Gran.
Flipping hell, it was nearly 15 years.
But they've obviously been having an absolute nightmare.
Of course. What, for 15 years?
Yeah, obviously. But this is their return. It's, when you Google it, the first thing says, a timeless Italian GT. Of course Maserati are going to say that. It was first launched in 2007. Well done.
Thank you.
God, 13 years.
Yeah. Did their watch stop?
I think so. But as I say, who cares? Because a great brand, they've obviously been through a tumultuous, I would say 25 years or maybe even longer. Really, Maserati's heyday was the 60s, I think, or 50s and 60s.
We don't know of.
No, like way over our heads. But I like the idea of Maserati. I do think the Gran Turismo, it has been a great car. Okay, fine. It's stuck around way too long, but it has been a great car. Sounds amazing, blah, blah. And maybe it like in 2009, 2010, it was like peak good. And then it just stuck around way too long. Yeah. But if they're going to come back with some kind of cool supercar, whatever variant, I'm super excited for that because I want it to be good. I want it to go well.
You know the Alfa Giulia Coupe, there's a chance that's coming.
It's not.
Okay. That's thank you. You're pissing on my parade.
They confirmed that's not coming.
That's not coming.
But they are saying that there will be a new 8C. And it's going to be based on this platform,
what it
this
is.
New Maserati.
It's same car.
Same car. So same this car. Is the thing. So there's going to be a sort of sister car. Like, it's all going to roll out. There's a Supra and a Z4.
Yeah, but all Italian, over again. Yeah.
So the 8C and the MC20 will basically be the same car, slightly rebranded at slightly different price points. But if you look at Alfa, right, when they did the 8C, they were going through a bit of a crappy time. And out of nowhere came this beautiful, incredible supercar, which still today, no matter the fact that it's actually not that good, it's going for like 250, 300 grand for an 8C.
Yeah.
Because it was such a special thing that came out of nowhere. And that's my hope for Maserati, is that I agree, we're all sitting around being like, please let this be good. But if it is, then great. It doesn't need to reinvent the brand. It could just be this holy grail of a supercar that comes out of nowhere and they just continue to be crap and make Levantes that...
So is it definitely a V6 engine?
Definitely a V6 engine.
Okay. Which that's is a sure. shame because the V8 engine in the Maserati was a big plus for it, firstly.
Of course.
Although that V6 Giulia engine is a cracking engine, by the way.
I was going to say, the world's a different place.
Yeah.
And if you base purely on the Giulia Quadrifoglio, I think that car still gets overlooked so often. Okay, fine. It doesn't work that well in terms of it breaks.
Good car though, mate. It is a good car.
Oh my God. Like, so I had that on the Mille Miglia a couple of years ago. And we chased an 812 Superfast on a tiny little Italian road. Jonathan Benson, obviously our mate, Tire Reviews. If you want to go back and listen to that episode 3.
Yep.
He was behind the wheel and, oh, it was unbelievable.
I mean,
it was so, so good. And he loved it.
Properly balanced.
Fantastic driving position. Weight distribution, everything. It's a little supercar, a little saloon supercar.
Yeah, the brakes are really grabby on it though. Like that's the only thing about that car.
And the fact that it unfortunately brakes.
Yeah,
I've had 3 brake on me.
Well, the ones that we've ever had, as in stock.
Yeah,
they've always been as good as gold, mate. Never causes any. Honestly, yeah, they've always been. And I had one, didn't I?
Yeah.
For a while, and it was as good as gold. Never had any problems. So
you put an exhaust on one. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Sound unbelievable.
Yeah.
A little bit tame from factory, but you put an exhaust on there or open up the valves.
Well, in the newer cars, they changed it, didn't they? Because you'd only open the valves in race.
Yes.
And that backed the traction control off and people would end up in walls. But
true.
They changed it in the later cars that it would come in sport.
You're right.
The valves would open
earlier.
A bit
more shouty.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know, you know, the idea of a Maserati supercar is so not up your street. And I knew your predisposition.
Because what does it compete with, mate? I mean, it's just another...
It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
Well...
It's a Maserati.
Okay. Sales will say it will matter. There'll be as many as them as there are McLaren GTs.
Okay. We see them everywhere. Ed McLaren dealership.
Yeah.
We've got to stop McLaren bashing. We did it for 2 years straight. We've got to move on.
Yeah.
But okay, now my question to you is, as an enthusiast, I'm sitting here going, if that car is 175 grand, I'll accept it. I genuinely, if it's a mid-engine supercar, 175 grand, way too much, but I'll accept it.
You gonna buy one?
Well, I would try. I wouldn't be able to afford it that much. Like, I want it to be 135, but it's not.
But hang on a moment, it will be.
Hold on. 2 months later.
Yeah.
Given the world and given what you do, let's be realistic right now and predict. Now, this is Maserati saying it's going to be this is some kind of follow-on from the MC12. It's going to be, I don't think it's going to be limited, but it's a lot of, you know, thought and process about, let's predict the price. So I'm going 175 stock plus options.
Plus options.
Yeah, so 175 plus options. Basically, Portofino kind of money. That's my guess.
How much is the Roma?
180 something?
A bit plus more. Options.
Plus options.
Okay, it won't be 175 then. It'll be 150 plus options. Can't be as much as the Roma.
If somebody says the right side of 200, does that mean 200 plus, or that means like lower than 200?
But it all depends on what context. I mean, there's loads of things. Yeah. There's VAT involved.
I read an article. I think it was an article. It said rumors suggest that it's going to be the right side of 200k.
Yeah, well, the right side of 200k could be 100k.
But that means less than 200. Because I'm like, if you look at a scale, the right sounds like it goes up.
Okay, so I'm only going on what cars are out there and where I think Maserati have to position themselves in the market.
Yeah. I'm listening.
I know you're listening. Yeah. All right. I don't think that they can price it the same money as a Roman, because as a brand, I mean, they could do what they like, Maserati, but they won't sell any of me because the Roma is a Ferrari.
But you're thinking it's competing with a Roma. I think it's competing with an F8. Not competing, but I think it's a subsidiary to the F8.
Really?
Yeah. It's going to be theoretically a mid-engine supercar. So it's got to be a little bit less than an F8, but I don't think they're considering the Roma as competition.
All right.
I don't think.
So is it it's competing with a 600 LT then?
Yes. Yeah, but maybe not that racy, but yeah, something like that. I'm just trying to work out what the most expensive Gran Turismo you can go and buy today is. Not that that really counts for much, because obviously, as we know, that car's been out for 75 years.
Well, list there'll be 100 grand.
100, so you know, tick a lot of options, MC something, it's going to be 100 grand.
Well, that's before, yeah. I mean, they're like 65, 70 new.
Of course, yeah. Okay, so you think it's going to be 150 plus, I'm going to say 175, let's see what happens come May.
150 plus, yeah, so yeah. It'll be spec'd, I think it'll be like, 170, 175. You think it'll be 200?
I think it'll be closer to 200, I think, 180 plus.
You've heard it here first.
We've heard it here first. Well, it's a car that we may get some more information of, Geneva.
We want to drive it.
Oh, mate, I'm all over that. The question which I'll be suffering is Alfa versus Maserati. If they are built on the same, blah, 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 I would always lean towards Alfa more. But let's wait and see what happens in that whole space and sector. But yeah, fingers crossed we learn some more info about it at Geneva, a show which we're both headed to.
We are, yeah. I wasn't going, but going now.
Yeah, no. I'm going because this year I've been actually working with the Motor Show. They've done a very cool thing. They've launched a new app, and basically if you sign up and enter a raffle, you can win like a driving experience, which I think is actually pretty good, because my biggest downside to any motor show is the fact that it's usually static.
Yeah.
You know, you walk around, you're like, okay, cool, seen everything. I could have sat at home and looked on the internet.
Absolutely.
But now there's a chance that you can go, it's called a Discovery Drive, and it's basically more aimed towards new sort of electric or sustainable vehicles. But Taycan, for example, is one of those cars. Mm-hmm. And you can go and you can give it a go. So that's kind of cool thing. So I'm helping them to promote that segment, which means I'll be going to the show and checking that out, but also checking out everything else that's going on. Have you heard any rumours, any little snifflings as to little surprises that could be coming our way?
Not really, because I wasn't going until last week. So I literally wasn't going to go, because you're right, it is the same old thing. It's the same manufacturers or not.
A few of them dropped out.
Yeah. Because it's a lot of money, mate.
Oh, my God. Too much money.
Yeah.
And you look at Festival of Speeds, far more effective. And, well, it was half the price. I think now it's probably the same price.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I've got two rumors. which are so unimportant to us, but I'll put them out there. Four-seater Koenigsegg.
A what?
Four-seater Koenigsegg.
Right.
Right.
Okay. What is the point?
Agreed. Entirely new Pagani. Not a modified Huayra, not a modified Zonda 78530. An entirely new model.
All right. Well,
two cars that mean absolutely nothing to
and
us.
And that Pagani is coming in 10 years because that's what they've done with the Zonda. There's a new Huayra coming and then there's another limited Zonda and another limited
Zonda. No. An entirely new model.
Yeah. But the Huayra was an entirely new model to the Zonda.
Yeah.
They announced it about 5 or 6 years before they actually built it out.
Okay, fair. Sorry, I got what you're saying now. Yeah. Okay, truth.
So it's not coming at all.
But honestly, when I heard those rumors, I was like, oh, cool. Great.
Is that it?
I mean, those were the two rumors that I got told.
There's no new Ferrari. I don't even think Lambo are going this year.
Well, no. I mean, Lambo aren't going. That's official.
Yeah.
Ferrari, yeah, it's going to be all the stuff that we haven't seen elsewhere. Roma, you know, SF90 being unveiled one more time.
Yeah.
McLaren.
812 GTS will probably be there.
812 GTS will definitely be there.
Yeah.
So all the cars that have been released last year and they're kind of flutter. We still owe our audience that Ferrari special, by the way.
We do. Yeah.
So that's still to come. But I don't think there's really much else. Golf, I would love it if the Golf GTI or Golf R got...
There's a Mark 8 coming.
Well, the Mark 8's out, right? Mm. But the Golf R's been seen testing. Do we think 992 Turbo, surely, but not GT3?
No, Turbo.
So, like, you know, there'll be bits, but like nothing that gets me that excited.
I want one of them.
You want a 992 Turbo?
Mm.
Really?
Mm. Good car.
Mate, and you slag me off for Maseratis.
Yeah, but I like, mate, we're different age as well. We're 10 years between us.
Clearly, Mr. Turbo.
Although he's little, he doesn't look like there's 10 years. There is, guys.
It looks like there's 20 because look at this baby face.
Anyway, the money maker.
No. As I said at the beginning of the show, we will be doing a Geneva special, so don't worry about that. We'll be reviewing and reflecting on anything, which hopefully will include some surprises. You never know. I doubt we're going to be talking too much about the four-seater Koenigsegg and the new Pagani because just two cars that I think really neither of us
should we do
about.
The show there? The podcast there? Are you going to bring all your stuff with you?
No. I'm just going to be realistic on that.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Thank God. Well, look, a very exciting development happened this week in the world of Formula One in the fact that testing began. Oh my God, we're underway. I mean, literally, the best part about it was Sky Sports were broadcasting testing for, I think they missed out last year, or maybe I missed out because I was on the road, but you could literally sit and watch 8 hours worth of testing, which to any normal human being, even an F1 fan, is boring. But I'm there like,
oh! Well, take the stage.
Yeah,
off
watch,
you go.
Watch every single lap. Now look, can you comment below? Can you send me a tweet? Would you like a proper F1 preview episode? Because I've been toying with midweek behind the glass episodes, shorter, more compact kind of episodes where it's just you and me, as in not Tony, you and me, the audience. And I just quickly recap on some experiences and some things that are going on in a shorter, more compact format. And I think it's kind of would be a good way to test it by doing an F1 preview. So could you let me know if you want me to chat all things F1, nerd out, comment below, send me a tweet. But let's quickly touch on the fact. Any cars or liveries that you've been liking caught your eye?
What was the last one? I haven't followed too much of it. What was the last one to get unveiled? The white and black car.
AlphaTauri.
That was really nice.
Yeah, it's dark blue, but it looks black. Okay. So that's the new Toro Rosso.
Okay,
they've
that
been
was really
rebranded.
Nice. Yeah.
That looks smart. The Racing Point, obviously X-Force India, about to become Aston Martin.
Mm.
They have effectively built Mercedes car from last year. So the 2019 Mercedes, actually kind of genius.
Yeah.
And it's a lot more pink. So they're obviously the Pink Panthers. But it's kind of an amazing tactic, which I'm surprised no one's ever done before. Back in the old Super Aguri Honda days, we used to see it. The following year, Super Aguri used to get the old Honda and it would be really competitive. Mm-hmm. But Racing Point actually looking quite fast now because they literally just made
last year's car.
Which obviously was a few seconds quicker than the midfield. So naturally, they're fast.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how that shakes out for the season. Renault unveiled a very competitive looking car and the fact that they've changed a lot.
Will they be quick this year, Renault?
Oh, please, for Daniel Ricciardo's sake. Hard to know at this point because it is so radically different. They've revealed a sort of testing livery, which is always frustrating for me because I'm like, we just want to see the real livery and maybe the testing livery is going to be better than the real livery. So snore. But, you know, good that they've changed up so much because they had to.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike Williams, who you could argue have got a great new livery, but haven't changed that much and they really needed to.
You're going
to
be at the back again.
I think they were focusing on reliability and sorting out some of the fundamental issues without doing anything too exciting.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean,
Mercedes looked fast as well again.
Unfortunately, this is the big topic. And as I say, I do kind of want to get into it in more detail, but Mercedes not just looked fast, mate, dominant. As in, the theory for this year, my standout of why we should watch 2020, because everyone's like, oh, screw it, 2021's when it's going to get exciting, new rule changes, everything will change up. I was like, no, this should be the year where the field are the closest of the hybrid era.
Mm.
Everyone's had time to catch up with Mercedes and they're not going to do a lot of development. So theoretically, the field would be a lot closer. Mercedes turned up to testing with a brand new revolutionary system called DAS, D-A-S, which is all basically an adaptive steering rack. It's all to do with the toe of the actual front wheels.
Yeah, that can be adapted on the steering wheel. Is that not cheating?
No.
That's fine.
Genius. It's a loophole because it's not to do with the actual suspension, it's to do with the steering.
Right.
Anyway, it's genius as always. It's been banned for 2021, but they're allowing it in 2020. And it's just another leap forward by Mercedes, and they are just looking so, so quick out of the box. Ferrari having an absolute nightmare to say,
yeah, they are,
telling
yeah.
everyone that they're really slow and uncompetitive. Red Bull are just quietly getting on with things as they always do, but it just looks like Mercedes are just going to run away with it, which I think we're all tired of seeing, if I'm honest.
It's been a 10-year dominance.
I'm a fan of Lewis so much, but I would have loved this year to be more competitive. But anyway, look, we're going to... If you don't want me to do an F1 preview, Tony and I will talk about F1 again once testing is completely over, because we've got another week to go.
You'll talk about it and I'll listen.
Yeah, good point. Or maybe we'll get someone in. Maybe we'll get someone F1-y in that we can have some chat with.
Not Paul Wallace.
No, definitely not Paul Wallace. I joke. Actually, Paul is the person I speak to F1 about the most.
Yeah.
But he riles me up.
Yeah.
Because he loves to say stupid stuff like, oh yeah, let's hope they crash. He's crap, isn't he? He's crap. What a crap move. So we could get him in, but he would frustrate me greatly.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on, before we end today's episode, we asked a few of you for questions that we could answer in today's episode, and a way to try and get you guys more involved. We got a ton, actually, but I've picked out a few to try and answer. We're not going to dwell on these topics for too long.
Good.
But we're going to rattle through some questions and see if we can help you guys. It's something we want to do more of, right?
Yeah, it'd be nice.
Get some more questions, get some more topics. Interaction.
Interaction.
Yeah.
Integration.
Well, yeah,
same
integration,
thing.
Same thing. Well,
yeah.
Okay, so let's start off with Ed Tainch. I hate pronouncing
You hate reading the names out, don't you?
It's a killer. Ed _ Tainch.
But anyway, you have to read them out.
I have to read them out. 25K car that does everything is big enough for a dog and a child. I've got one in my mind, but you go.
I've got two in my mind.
Oh, bloody hell. Show off.
Are we talking, so everything would have to include performance, right?
Yeah, I think so. If he's a car guy, he's not coming to us to ask for a...
So I'm going to go an estate car and a hatchback car.
A hatchback? Big enough for a dog and a child.
Well, how big's the dog? I mean, has he said that?
Great Dane. He hasn't actually clarified that.
It's a Great Dane.
But go on. Give me a two.
So the estate car, RS4.
Which one?
The V8 one.
Ah.
The 25 grand.
See, I was going to say RS4 Gen 1 though. Manual. Boxy. I love that car, mate.
Yeah, but the is it the B7?
I don't know all those B's.
Yeah, it's a B7 or a B8, I think. Like 2014 car.
Oh, no.
Yes.
I mean, yes, sure. But I think the 90s one would be my pick.
No.
Just a bit more lowbrow cool, but anyway, crack on, mate.
Yeah, so that.
Yeah.
Or Golf R. Modern new Golf R for that. Depending on how big your dog is, of course.
The depressing thing is you're so right.
Of
but that's
course.
So boring. I'm going to just get out there and say...
4C, probably.
A Bath 6... No, sorry. I'm going to come out there and say instead, why not shake it up and go for... Well, you've stolen my thunder with the RS4 thing, but...
Done him.
I'll just leave it with what Tony said. Okay, moving on. PTS touring. Oh, what a lad. I love a bit of Porsche life. New Defender, any good? I haven't experienced it yet. I saw it very briefly at the GQ Car Awards parked outside. I'm just going to come out and say it. I really don't like the way it looks. I actually dislike the way it looks. Big fan of the old Defender, as lots of you know. I've made lots of content on them on my main channel. But yeah, just really not a fan of the design of the new one. People are saying good things. I know some of the press drives happened recently out in Africa. Well, I can't remember where the press drives have just happened, but we're going to be hearing reviews soon enough. I'm sure it will be brilliant because the Range Rover has been brilliant for decades and they're not going to have messed that up. But it's expensive, I think.
I don't like the price. It's don't like the far price. Too, it's double the money of the old one, mate.
Far too much money. And if you take the G-Wagon, the newest shaped G-Wagon is selling like wildfire, if that's a thing that sells. You see them everywhere now. And it's because it's the same format, just appropriately updated. Yeah. You know what I mean? They haven't redefined the car. They've just made it a car rather than a box on wheels.
Yeah.
The Defender, that's what they should have done. Kept to what it was, just improved it and updated it in every way. Instead, they released a completely different car, which is basically a rebodied Evoque with theoretically more off-roading capabilities. Yeah. I'm not a fan.
No. I mean, I just think it's too expensive. It's double the money of the old car. And, you know, I think if you've got an old one, I think you're fine. I think the farmers will still just drive. Because don't forget, that's the market for them.
Yeah, farmers, not
they
yummy
do
mummies.
Not spend money, mate.
Not farmers. Yummy mummies. You would no. still go and buy an old Defender.
Or you just go and buy a Range Rover. If it's aimed at mummies.
Sorry, yes. You yummy just go mummies. And buy an Evoque. Of course, yummy mummies go and buy an Evoque.
Yeah.
Whilst farmers would, you know, go and buy a Toyota Hilux, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So silly there. TM Chan 236. In your experience, which manufacturer has the best customer care service? I thought that was quite an interesting question because we've both owned cars. You've dealt with a lot more manufacturers in terms of customer care and service than I have. I will come out and say that I have had a positive experience with Porsche Guildford. Mm-hmm. They have been very good to me and looked after me. And I've also had a fantastic experience with AV Engineering, who are an independent Ferrari specialist. Haven't had such a great experience with main dealers, but I haven't actually bought a car through a main dealer.
So
from Ferrari.
In general, normally experience and after sales, independents are normally the best, mate.
Mm.
Because you normally deal with the same person from start to finish, and if you've got a problem, you speak to that person again.
Yeah.
Whereas a main dealer, you're on a conveyor belt. Once the salesman's took your money and handed the car over, you never speak to him again.
No, you're a number.
You're just a number. You just get passed from pillar to post. However, the best experience I've had with manufacturers is Porsche and Ferrari.
Yeah.
Mercedes is terrible.
I said, do you want to
We're not. I'm not really going to go into it too much.
No,
but
you had a disaster.
Disaster.
We should
Mercedes.
At some point. I think maybe when you've cooled down or when the dust has settled a bit further down the line, we should talk on that because deserves a sort of an airing. But we'll come back to that another point. Remind us, guys, if we're ever running out of things to talk about, that we do have a stories about Mercedes that. You know, we can
in
touch.
Brackets AMG GTR.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Porsche and Ferrari, right? But how are Lambo when you dealt with Lambo?
Never had any problems with them. They were always, but mate, apart from servicing that car, I didn't really have anything.
Didn't to deal with them that much.
No.
Fair enough. I would say that every manufacturer is fantastic when you're buying a car.
Yeah. Especially a high-end car because they're trying to take 200 grand.
That's exactly it. It's then the afterwards. I'm trying to think if I've ever had any real disasters. Jaguar always good, Alpha. And the funny thing about the 4C is when I was turning up, obviously, to the Alpha/Fiat service center, there was just like, you know, 500s and Mitos everywhere. And then I was the douchebag in the 4C. Hello, could you service my supercar?
Yeah. And do you know what as well? You know what are bad? In my experience, and maybe it's because I'm used to a level of service because the personal cars that I've had in the past, when you deal with Ford and Vauxhall and all that, and it's not fair because it doesn't matter if you're taking 5 or 10 grand off someone or 200 grand, they should all be treated the same because it's still someone's treasure. Yeah. They literally talk to you like a bit of poo at Ford and, you know, all the mainstream brand. And it's awful.
Yeah.
It's really bad.
It's, you know, but you see that around the world. I mean,
for sure.
Tesco's, Starbucks, you know.
Yeah.
They're just doing a job.
Yeah.
They don't care.
They're
just doing a job. Yeah. Whilst if you get into the more prestige marks or the sports cars or whatever, people are theoretically sometimes a bit more into the product.
But it's not on.
No, it's not on. It's totally not on. You know,
should just be treated the same across the board.
Yeah. Anyway, speaking of Porsche and their good customer care and service, Pipel Guetta 1009. I hope I've got that. Pipel. Correct.
You've done well then.
Thank you. So the Cayman, new Cayman GTS 4.0 is mentioned. I want to talk about the fact that obviously they've now ditched, theoretically, the four-cylinder, which is kind of hilarious because I obviously owned it. So I owned quite a rare car.
Well, it was a very good engine and it was very good for the non-enthusiast because it was very easy to drive and in the real world it was faster. But you have to hand it to Porsche because they listen to their customers.
Yeah, and when you say it was a good engine, I mean... I didn't like it. I never bonded with that engine. It was unbelievably economic in terms of fuel. I mean, I did Barcelona to London on like 1.5 tanks.
But you're a petrol head, mate. So yeah. It wasn't good for you. But no. It's good for the everyday person that just wants to get in and drive.
Fine. Okay, sure. Maybe that's who buys Caymans is non
Well, obviously not. It's all petrol. But that's what they tried to do, Porsche. They tried to release it to another customer, a different, you know, a Jag customer or the, you know, that bought the 2 liter F type or, you know, another, and they tried to reach into other brands, but it hasn't worked.
Which, you know, so as you say, great. They listened to the customer base and said, right, we got to fix this. And they have done. So bravo, Porsche. It doesn't make that car particularly attractive to me. I don't look at the Cayman GTS and go, oh, I want that. Mm. And weirdly, the same thing about the new GT4. It's cool and the Boxster Spider's cool, but for some reason I don't look at it and go, oh, I really want one. Whilst when the previous generation came out, I was like, my God, that thing is amazing. And I feel like there was more hype around the previous generation
too. First one though, wasn't it?
First one, for sure.
Yeah.
But I just feel like the 718 Cayman, maybe because they went with that four cylinder first, just didn't have the same appeal as that previous generation. The appreciation isn't there as much, maybe, because I'm sure the new GT4 is better in every way than the previous one.
Yeah.
But I don't know why. I personally am like, eh.
But I just think that's new cars in general now, mate. I just think that people don't get as excited as they did 4 or 5 years ago. Because don't forget, we spoke about this before, we've ridden a wave for 3 or 4 years and now people are on the downturn a bit and, okay, it's another new car and then there'll be another one next week. And then, you know, you can't keep up, mate, with these manufacturers.
That's a good point. Okay, well, I think that's a lovely time to bring today's episode
that was
to
quick.
An end. Well, it wasn't. It was 50 minutes, mate.
Really?
Yeah. Bish, bash, bosh. We've kind of gone over. We like to usually sit around the 45-minute mark.
Yeah.
Good old morning commute average time. anyway, let us know, actually, by the way, when do you tend to listen to the podcast? I think we did that a few years ago. When did you tune in? Do you listen on the way to work, at the weekend, with a cup of tea, or I don't know when you listen to it.
Oh, I met a guy on the train the other day. Worked at Carwell.
Oh, no way.
Done all the video and stuff. Yeah, come and said hello. Good really man. Nice chap. And he said he loves the podcast. Oh, listen to him on his way to work.
Do you remember his name? Nope. Okay. No. Man from Carwell. Thanks for tuning in. and so, yes, as I say, once again, make sure to subscribe if you're watching us here on YouTube. Turn on notifications. Leave us a comment. Give us a like. And if you're listening on any audio platform, make sure to follow us. If you want to follow Tony, he is on Instagram. Go on. Give your handle, man.
Tony. Gravelwood Car Sales.
You got to get.
Is
better.
It about
you,
right?
You got to get better at that. Just search Gravelwood Car Sales.
Just search Gravelwood. Yeah. No, Tony Gravelwood.
Yeah, and you follow the Tony one, unless that's you want to see what cars he's got in stock. anyway, we will catch up with you very, very soon for another episode. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned, We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.